This show is
Really?
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
God, 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 Buddha, God, Buddha, Buddha, God. And welcome to DSJMP WrestleCast. And this is where we talk about wrestling, get the like minds and all that kind of good crap. We are at episode 53, and I have been confirmed by Katie that this is episode 53, and it kind of makes sense because, granted, this show has been on for 43 episodes, not 53, I fucked up myself, and this is the 8th episode I've been hosting, so Vamp, fuck you. Anyway, Vamp's not here today because he had some work commitments that he had to step up to. Wayne is not here today because he has some sleeping issues that he has to deal with. And DRG is not here because of work issues, so we are down to a three-person crew, but I brought in somebody else. But first off, we have Katie, the First Lady.
Hello.
Hey, Katie. No, I'm not saying fast.
Everybody's just singing to me now. This is lovely.
Shouldn't end up being the Katie cast.
And then we have Biohazard.
Hello.
No, you got to sing to Katie, too.
I'm not a singer. I'm a drummer, so I'll be in the...
Well, you gotta do the backup vocals, so a lot of drummers do that.
Sorry, I'm not that talented.
I already know that. Anyway, and we also have the Mop Jockey.
Yeah, I'm not singing because that sounds like a lot of work.
Everything sounds like a lot of work to you.
Yes, it does.
Tell that to Aunt.
Hey, he's a dedicated DSJNP alumni.
Well, he recorded himself, too. It's not like he just sang over the phone. He actually recorded it, too. So
yeah.
A lot of time on his hands.
Bet you that's not the only thing on his hands. Anyway.
That was a double entendre there.
Yeah, ba-dum-tsh. Anyway, we have a very fun episode. I don't normally do this, but this is what Devil Vamp does, so fuck it, I'm going to do it too. We have Keep Toss and Improve, What's On, the WrestleMania warm-up. We have picks. We won't be going over them because somebody didn't send me any Devil Vamp. But we're going to go over our picks that we have coming up for Fastlane.
Fastlane, you gotta get the WWE in there.
Mm-hmm. WWE.
And we also have Wayne's water cooler. Well, it's just gonna be Biohazard's water cooler this week.
Yep.
Emails, which we actually do have a couple, and I'm going to try to read, and I'll probably butcher them worse than fucking Wayne. Because if you've listened to NFL Easy Picks, you know that I'm not a great reader. And we'll also have Best of the Week. So we will start with Keep Toss and Improve, and we'll start with Wayne. Oh, P's not here, so we'll start with Katie.
All right. You know what? My keep this week is I like the ending of Raw and the back and forth between Bryan and Reigns. I liked in each of their selected matches they were trying to get one-upsmanship with each other while each of them was on commentary or, in Roman Reigns' case, taking selfies with fans, getting autographs. And beyond Daniel Bryan doing the yes chant every 2 minutes. So I like that they're trying to get back at each other, trying to prove who's better performer nonetheless. But I'm excited for their match this Sunday. I think it's going to be really good.
I'm looking forward to this match, too, in general. If anybody says wrestling is predictable, I will ask them for this match, tell me who's going to win and why and how, and I think it's something that not everybody's going to get, because there's literally so many ways to get this from now to WrestleMania, and there's, okay, are they going to do the Daniel Bryan route, put him back on top and everything with that, and then are they going to have Roman Reigns go through, is it going to be a triple threat, is it going to be this, is it going to be that, so...
Screw job finish for the triple threat match. Yeah.
Nope.
You giving us a preview for your picks?
Nope. Not at all.
I mean, I don't know. To me, I would much rather see, and this is kind of like a preview of my pick, but I would much rather see Roman Reigns win, and you see Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns kind of maybe shake hands at the end. And yes, kind of give it the Rock ending where he's kind of like, please don't boo this guy stance type thing, and I don't know. It's just because I think I'd much rather see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar than Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, even a triple threat.
Yeah.
If you're going to do the triple threat, have Roman Reigns win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the helping Roman Reigns will far outweigh Daniel Bryan versus winning again. Yeah, I said that all fucked up, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you, Charles Barkley?
No, I'm fucking exhausted.
You should clean that up, Mark.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's just terrible.
Terrible. All right, Katie, what is your toss or improve?
I guess my improve would be the way that the Bellas stole Paige's clothes. I know most men and some women love the Paige was in the towel, but it's got them resorting to, like, a bunch of teenagers. Like, oh, we're going to steal her clothes. That'll embarrass her. It just felt flat and stupid to me. You know, I just wish the storyline was a little bit better than acting like a bunch of teenagers.
Well, Paige is kind of flat, so.
But she kind of looks like a teenager.
I was going to say that's the other half of the reason why Wayne's not here, because hashtag Paige was trending on her.
Oh my God.
Please won't die.
I should have started off like I did with the last episode, said Wayne's not here because after the Paige segment, he is in the hospital recovering from exhaustion and masturbating way too much. So, you know, prayers are in there for Wayne as a baker. Oh my God. The thing that's funny is I tweeted out a picture of Paige in that dress. And Jim Carrey from Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, when he's in the insane asylum in the, like, tutu. And it was like, who wore it better? And Paige retweeted it, and oh my God. My Twitter literally blew the fuck up. Like, I'm still getting notifications that people are liking, favoriting and retweeting that fucking tweet. You probably get the same thing when you get the shit with AJ, don't you?
Yep, it still goes on. I still get retweets on stuff from like 2 months ago.
Yeah, because your kind is really crazy. No offense. Yep. Anyway, yeah. I could only imagine. I've never gotten anything like. I actually think when. I'm trying to remember. I was in a tweet. My picture was in a tweet of CM Punk. It was me, him, but it was tweeted by Matt Cross.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I wasn't mentioned, it actually, I don't even think it equals enough retweets and favorites. And the fucking replies, oh my God, and everybody's saying, oh, Paige look better. Yeah, it's a fucking joke. Of course you're going to say, well, A, Paige is retweeting it, and you're obviously a Paige fan, so you'd be like, oh yeah, Paige looks much better than it. And also, it's fucking Jim Carrey almost 20 years ago, over maybe 20, over 20 years. Yeah, over.
If Jim Carrey would have retweeted that, if you would have tagged him in there.
I did tag him.
Oh, you did?
But he's not very active on Twitter. I looked at his timeline afterwards, and I think the last thing he tweeted about was SNL's 40th anniversary and being involved, and he's not a guy that, like, goes out there and communicates to fans, which doesn't surprise me. A lot of your older actors and movie stars, people like that, they're not into that. Hell, there's even like some athletes out there that just aren't even into Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
I don't think Bray Wyatt actually has a Twitter, does he?
I think he does.
He does.
Does he finally have one?
Well, a lot of the wrestlers have them, but whether it's how many actually use it, like people say, like, oh, you know, John Cena, you know, he tweeted out this, but they got fired. Like, all these people got fired. I don't think John Cena uses Twitter.
Well, we know Seth Rollins uses his.
Well, I mean, you got those wrestlers who do use Twitter, and my call to the week in review this week was actually noting about how when I took my picture with all the new shirts that I have, like, all the interaction I got were people from NXT. You know, obviously those people use it. Natalya is a big user. Paige, obviously, when I mentioned earlier. And there's a bunch of others, but there's also the people that don't. Rusev, don't. Lana does a little bit, but not a lot. Dean Ambrose is one, too.
Yeah, but Rusev can't speak English, right? I mean, he just speaks Russian.
No, he's spoken English many times. He sat there and he did a promo against John Cena.
No, that was not English.
No, yes it was.
Rusev Crush. That's English.
No, he says more than just Rusev Crush.
Yeah, I know.
Especially during that John Cena one. That's like the most I think we have heard Rusev talk in a while. Maybe the whole time he's been in WWE. He's been given the Undertaker treatment of Rest in Peace, a.k.a. Rusev Crush. And like, that's all he'll say, but he actually said a lot.
Him repeating John Cena's name 15 times does not count as him talking a lot.
John Cena.
Did you even watch the segment?
Yeah, but all I remember him saying is John Cena, and then something, mm-hmm. John Cena.
No, he says stuff, and he says it with a heavy Russian accent to make it believable.
But he's Bulgarian.
It's tomato, tomato.
I guess that's no worse than having a Samoan playing a Japanese guy, is it?
Do you really have an accent in real life, or is it like how Lana is? Because I know she's American.
No, Rusev's really legit Bulgarian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess from what I've heard, he actually come over here to become a wrestler and was driving a taxi for a while. And yeah, I guess he's actually a pretty cool dude. But yes, he is legitimately Bulgarian.
He's like this generation sort of Iron Sheik with broken English.
Now, he may speak better than what he does on TV, but he definitely has the accent.
I love how whenever Rusev gets his picture taken outside of the ring, it's very rare do you find pictures of him smiling.
No, unless
he's with Lana.
No, there's many
Lana,
pictures.
He's not smiling.
There's only been a couple, and they are with Lana. And obviously, I think one of them was at a Clippers game because they seem to both love the Clippers, where he's actually smiling. But there's one of the first ones that I'd seen them at a basketball game together that they weren't smiling. But I like that.
I know
it's a little bit old school mentality.
I know if I had Lana with me, I would not have a problem smiling all the time.
I don't know. You got to put on your mean face around other people.
No. I'm gonna just be smiling because looking at you, you can't have me.
You can't have me.
No, you can't. God damn it! I'm tired. Fuck.
Don't worry. I don't want you. Sounds like too much work.
Yes, you do.
I've already had you.
Don't tell everybody.
This isn't Cock Talk Easy Picks.
All right, Wade Barrett.
All right, let's go to Biohazard. What's your keep, toss, and improve?
I'll go with my keep, the Stardust quote-unquote heel turn. It's showing another side of Cody Rhodes that we haven't really seen in a while. Just him being angry and showing the more aggressive side of Cody, but still in the Stardust character. Even the quote where he was like, Cody's dead, and as far as he's concerned, so is Dusty, when he was talking to his father. It's really showing a different side of that Stardust character.
Here's one thing that I think I've said before about Cody Rhodes. I think he's overcredited by people. I don't care how great he is with his personalities. There wasn't much stretch between Dashing Cody Rhodes, Dastardly Cody Rhodes, and what's one am I missing? The Mustache Cody Rhodes?
Yeah. Mm.
There really wasn't a lot different. Oh. Granted, he's mixing it up, but Stardust is the one that he actually did something different.
Come on now. It was a big effort for him to grow that mustache.
Oh my God.
I remember listening to, I think it was Talk is Jericho, where him and Goldust were on it. And he said he was out for a little while, and so he was like, I just want to grow a mustache because Goldust never had one and Dusty Rhodes never had one. And when he came in, Vince was like, what is that? Well, it's
Caterpillar.
Yeah. I like it. That's the reason why he had the mustache. Thought it was hilarious. But
yeah, that makes sense.
But going forward, I just want to see where the Stardust character goes. Somebody in GroupMe kept going, oh, fuck Stardust, this is stupid. No, I like the weird characters, as I think this has been prevalent since I've been on the show. But going forward, Will Dempsey is another one. But going forward, I'd just like to see where this story takes it to. I know they're rumored for a match at Mania, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this match that we will come to talking about for this pay-per-view, I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up in his qualification or something, that's going to lead to a WrestleMania match, because that's what just needs to happen.
Yeah.
All right, what is your toss or improve?
My improve this week is going to be in the tag team division for the WWE as a whole. It's like, now that they're breaking teams up, there's not a whole lot you can turn to. Yeah, you have the Ascension, you have New Day. Where's everybody else? You know, I'm not saying they need to throw random guys together, Because, I mean, it did work for Kid and Cesaro. Might not work again. Lightning can only strike once. And I'm not saying bring up new guys from down low, from NXT, but having more focus on a storyline that draws the fans in is what I would like to see more out of the tag division.
You say Lightning, about Lightning striking twice. You have to put, if you're going to put people together, you got to put the right people together.
Yeah.
The thing that I mentioned, I don't remember what I mentioned on, because I've been on so many podcasts, about you give Cesaro and Kid, they are both tag team wrestlers by history.
Mm-hmm.
So you put these two together, they're going to give you magic because that's what they're used to it. They're used to tag team wrestling. So they're going to excel. Or you get two people who just can work well together, like we've seen this week, the reunion of the primetime players. Those were two guys through NXT that they end up sticking together, and boom, back when it was the original NXT,
yeah.
Boom, they became a tag team. And they were just pretty much at what NXT season 1 and 2 rejects.
Yeah, I think it was Darren Young and I don't even remember the other guy. The guy that wore the glasses all the time. Oh my God, it's going to drive me nuts. But it was like him and Darren Young and Titus O'Neil came out or something. And that's how Darren Young and Titus became partners.
Oh, you're talking about... I know who you're talking about.
Hey, somebody's going to say something later on, and I'm going to be like, you motherfucker. But
yep.
I don't remember who it was, but I remember he had the glasses and the dumbass dance, and nobody gave a crap about him. But I don't think you should be...
I know who you're talking about, too. I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, me too.
He wore the big nerd glasses, and I can't remember for the life of me remember his name. But
Bull Dempsey?
I said big nerd glasses. Speaking of that, I gotta shit on Baron Corbin. If you can't do your finisher,
do so.
If you can't do your finisher every time the right way, you need to follow the Bill Goldberg thing and start training with heavier guys and doing that finisher.
Oh, he's the greatest wrestler ever.
Bill Goldberg?
No, Baron Corbin.
No, it's because I remember listening to Goldberg say that he went down to the power plant and did that jackhammer on the biggest guy there. So when he did face guys like the Giant or bigger guys, that he could still do the jackhammer. Where if you can't do the End of Days on Bull Dempsey, come on now.
Yeah, that move is awful dependent on your opponent. I'm just rather unimpressed with everything Baron Corbin right now.
Percy Watson.
There we go.
That's it.
Yeah.
But we're talking about tag teams. Don't forget that the New Age Outlaws was just two guys that they threw together and it just worked.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Like I said, it's lightning in a bottle.
The Acolytes were two guys they threw together and it worked.
Mm, yeah.
But if you also remember back then, there was more focus on a tag team division. Whereas now it's kind of...
The Acolytes worked because those were two guys that WWE didn't know what to do with, and it was also a veteran and a rookie, pretty much.
Yeah.
Together.
Right.
But I will say this, if that was WWE now, the APA would have lasted probably 2 years, if that. And I think they lasted way longer if you go from the Acolytes to when they finally broke up. And the breakup is what makes sense because you have the newer rookie go over on your veteran.
Yeah. And another thing is they need to have more, confidence in tag teams, because we've seen a lot lately where they'll come in, wrestle for 6 months or maybe a year tops, and then they're back to being singles guys, or they're pushing one guy over the other. Granted, that's why they put them together, to put one over the other, but it seems like they're not running with it anymore.
Well, plus, you got to figure, in the WWE pecking order, tag team is a half a step higher than divas.
Mm.
Which leads back to being my improve. I would like to see it become more. Maybe close to what it was during the Attitude Era, but where it's the World Tag Team Championships. So to me, it's like the best tag team in the world.
Growing up, dude, that's 90% of what you saw was tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
Whether it was the two, main eventers facing off of, their opponents, or it was always tag teams. I loved it because it was less downtime. There's less waiting around. Oh, he has a headlock. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, on a side note, I came up with the name Percy Watson. I looked up, because I got it from the Wikipedia page for the WWE NXT TV series, because I knew it was in Season 2. Looking at some of these people that were on NXT, there's always at least one or two people per season that it's like, they were here and they were gone. Mm-hmm. Like, Season 1 was obviously
Tarver.
Michael Tarver. Yeah, Tarver. Yeah. He had the disgrace from Akron, Ohio, from where I'm from. Fuck him. The rest are still in WWE, believe it or not. I say believe it or not because Dave Otunga is the one that's believe it or not.
Well, Darren Young was believe it or not until this week.
Yeah. You see, Season 2, Caval, who was your winner. A name that doesn't even have a Wikipedia page, Eli Cottonwood.
Wasn't that the Pope in TNA?
No, that's Elijah Burke.
Elijah Burke.
And
wait, who was calling the Pope? Caval?
No.
Elijah Burke.
Yeah, Elijah Burke in WWE.
I was wondering who Mop was.
Eli Cottonwood.
Yeah, he thought Cottonwood was Elijah Burke. We're correcting it. Also, Lucky Cannon.
Whoever that
don't
is.
Know.
Stupid-ass name.
He didn't last long. Season 3, which was the Divas one. Caitlin, who's now gone. Naomi, still with WWE. AJ, obviously. Oksana, thank God she's gone. Maxine in Lucha Underground, and a woman by the name of Jamie who isn't even listed, doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. And then here's the fun one.
It was kind of muscly, I think. Like she had a really thick body or something.
Yeah.
She was eliminated during the first week of eliminations, so she didn't last long. Here's the fun one of what I went through. Season 4. You had Johnny Curtis, who won, who's now Fandango, Brodus Clay, who's now in TNA, Derek Bateman, who's now in TNA, Connor O'Brien, who we now know as part of the Ascension.
Wow.
Byron Saxton.
Yeah.
Who's actually been pretty decent as a interviewer.
Mm-hmm. And Jacob Novak, who also no Wikipedia page. And he was once again eliminated the first week. Oh, fun. I could go to the last. The last season.
Season 5 has got 4 of the same guys. 5 of the same guys. Bateman, Young,
Redemption.
O'Brien, and Ryan. Lucky Cannon. Oh, and Saxton, too.
And Novak was also
Yeah, they were from past seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bateman didn't join until 3 weeks in, but then it ended up being Bateman, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young for, like, ever.
Yeah, it was like friggin' the last season lasted 3 years.
Well, it's funny because all these have, like, their elimination weeks. And they're all pretty low numbers. Like, Season 4 was Week 5, Week 7, Week 10, Week 12, Week 13. This is Season 5's eliminations. Week 11, Week 13, Week 15, Week 17, Week 29, Week 35, and Week 59.
Dang. That was awesome.
It was a never-ending story. And they also had when Maxine was down there, all that funness. Oh, my God.
Dude, Betamax was the shit. Don't knock it.
Oh, it was. It was amazing. Cataclysmic has a really good call in the weekend review for that one. All right. That once again, what's his nuts over here? Biohazard has a good keep toss approve. Was that your last one?
Yeah.
All right. Mop.
Let's start off with my toss, and that is Ric Flair. Just be gone. He was awful. He can't fucking talk. Just go away.
Woo.
You don't like Ric Flair? You're old.
No, I don't like Ric Flair.
He's pretty much for your demographic.
Woo.
No, he's actually a little older than my demographic, and he was on the other programming from what I actually watched.
Woo.
I would do a woo, but I gotta keep it down. It's like owls.
I remember going to a WWE live event, and I was standing next to a security guard as the building was filling up, and he just turns to me and goes, "Hey, watch this," and he just goes, "Woo!" And he just started the biggest woo chant.
Oh, that's any fucking WWE show, like, before it starts, there's always a million woos, and it's like,
it was,
how do I want to explain it? It's like when you're out in nature, maybe, and, you know, you hear, like, one cricket, and, like, you just hear it keeps going, like, all these other crickets, and it's just kind of like, woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
So much fun.
And how many of them have absolutely no idea why they're wooing?
Oh, dude, come on, Ric Flair's been out, like...
This one was before he retired.
Well, and at the same time, Ric Flair is like, I hate saying this because I'm not a huge Ric Flair fan, but and I'm not a fan of the two bands I'm about to mention either, but Ric Flair's like the Beatles and Metallica. You didn't have to be alive when they were making music because they're almost timeless. My niece is 13 years old. Guess what she grew up on? The fucking Beatles. She wasn't around during the Beatles, but that's what she grew up on. She still likes them.
Yeah, my nephew's 11, and he listens to Metallica, so...
I grew up on Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. One of them was dead by the time I was born. I still listen to them. So those people are timeless, and so is Ric Flair. Ric Flair is a name and image and everything about him that you don't have to watch wrestling very long to know who he is.
It's like Hulk Hogan and,
oh God,
and John Cena now, too.
My nephew is, I think he's about to turn 5 in August. He knows who Hulk Hogan is, and he doesn't watch a lot of wrestling. He watches certain YouTube stuff, and his dad is nowhere near a fan that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad told me, he's like, I want you to, like, when he gets a little bit older, you know, get him more into wrestling and, like, take him to shows and all this stuff. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll do it. I'll get him the John Cena stuff. I'll be like, ooh, so crazy. You don't give a damn.
Yeah, I don't get the... I'm not buying my kid John Cena stuff. I hate people like that.
Yeah, just let him.
If he likes John Cena, let him wear John Cena stuff. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. All right, Bob.
Which actually leads into my keeps. And I'm going to say, like, three guys. John Cena, Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan. The fucking aggression out of those three was awesome. It's so nice to see, you know, in a wrestling match, people being aggressive.
Believe that.
But this is very
believe reason. That.
Yep.
And there was blood.
Yep.
Blood
I love
is always good.
Blood.
And I'll tell you what, fucking Daniel Bryant trolling Roman Reigns was awesome.
That was good.
But yeah, that's my keeps. It was good.
It's nice to know that the parts of Raw that I missed, nobody's talked about so far.
Which parts did you miss?
Most of the not high points of the show.
Did you see the silly bit with Dean Ambrose holding a clipboard behind a desk?
Nope.
Yeah,
I missed that part.
Did you? So you didn't get to see the, I hate to say it, but kind of crappy match between Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper?
Nope.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
John Moxley and Brody Lee?
Yeah, they did not connect very well on the show. I don't know what
here's
it was.
Here's also a thing, too, with... You know, match connectability or whatever you want to keep match chemistry. Sometimes you don't have it every match. Like, it was mentioned on the Punk DVD.
Yeah.
Like, him and John Morrison. They could put on great matches, but they mentioned, like, there was, like, one match in particular they put on a fucking stinker. It just wasn't there that night.
Oh, yeah, that clearly happens. But, yeah, this was definitely an off night for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they just come back from Abu Dhabi, too? So it was like they... I probably really jet-lagged. So.
Yes, that would be correct.
Well, it depends on which ones, though.
No, they went the whole weekend. Both of them did.
Yeah.
Both tours went all weekend, yes.
Yeah, so believe that. I guess that gets on to me. My keep is going to... No, my improve. I was going to have this keep, but it's definitely an improve. Having Leva Bates on WWE TV. Yes, I love it. That's why it's my keep. But sign her. Sign her to a contract. Sign Crazy Mary Dobson.
Well,
at least these two.
Leva Bates has already got a built-in storyline to be on NXT right now.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Well, it's true, though.
I wasn't done talking.
Fuck you.
You never listen. Can I proceed now?
Please.
I mean, technically, it's my show this week. And it's my fucking opinion, okay? It's my fucking opinion.
Don't
anyway.
Stop it.
Do you just not care?
I don't care. I swear to God, I'm going to drop your come down there, and I'm going to rip your fucking head.
Wait,
anyway.
I didn't think God exists.
It's true. But you know, you have women like this. You take those two women, even I'm throwing in Mia Yim because she has so much experience. She was just on a knockouts taping one night only, and then the end of the week, I mean on Monday, she's on WWE TV. Sign these women. Your NXT isn't terrible when it comes to your female division. Granted, everybody praises it, but to me it's always because of your time. The way that I've dissected that roster is you have three of them who are non-WWE made. They didn't go through the developmental center first. Who are actually independent talent, and the other three are the people that come through. Sign these three. If you're going to eventually put people on the main roster, like I think Charlotte's got to be next, who surprisingly enough is a NXT, is a developmental or performance center person. She did not go through any indies. She did not pay any dues, which I'm perfectly fine with. But, oh my God, you get these three in here, they could light up that Divas division in general. But the only question is, I don't know what their transition, like their name, their new names would be, their new gimmick, because that could be a night and day difference too.
So you don't think Blue Pants would stick?
She would have to be more than Blue Pants. They'd have to give her a name. Mia Yim's the only one that, granted, I love her. I'd love for her to be in WWE, but I do not know if WWE can use her properly because of her Asian background.
I think even if they did, they would hold off on Mia Yim just because of the TNA one night only.
Well, they could sign her but not put her on TV right away.
Now, were you trying to imply that WWE doesn't have a good track record working with Asians?
They have a bad track record working with anybody who's...
Not right.
But, I mean, they did a really good job with the Asian that was actually a Samoan in Yokozuna. They did a good job with him.
But he was a guy like Roman Reigns and Diesel that you were able to give a really quick push to, and it made sense. You didn't have to build something around them. And even after Yokozuna lost the WWE title back at WrestleMania 10, he wasn't champion ever again. He had pretty much 1 year on top.
Yeah, his weight really held him back, too, because he couldn't do a whole lot.
I don't know. He was pretty agile for a big guy, but also what got him was there was at one point he, like, ballooned up even more.
Yeah, he was really, really big.
He was, like, 600 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
He's a tag team champion with your boy.
Mm-hmm. That was a great tag team. That's actually, it's funny because his feud with Brett helped, like, make him relevant as a champion, and then Owen kept him relevant as tag team champion. But after that, I mean, I can't tell you much about Yoko off the top of my head.
I don't think there was much else to him. I think he medically had to pretty much go away after that.
Let me see. So my keep or toss. I want to keep this John Cena Rusev storyline going. I don't know if that's the way they're going to go, but I want to see this keep going.
It all even makes sense.
I would love to see Rusev win at Fastlane, but at the same time, granted, you have him lose to Cena at Fastlane, granted, people are going to be so pissed, but that would invoke a rematch clause, and you put it at WrestleMania, and then that's where he goes over. If they throw away the undefeated streak, because that's the thing about undefeated streaks, to me, all undefeated streaks are made to be broken, and now that the undefeated streak of The Undertaker at WrestleMania is now gone, I think any of them and all of them can go.
Well, don't forget Bo Dallas' undefeated streak.
Oh, God, the epic undefeated streak. But that's what they are in wrestling. They're made to build you to a certain point and then drop off. The WWE does a smart thing is they don't want to do the Goldberg. They don't want to count every single win. They want to just have that illusion that they're this unstoppable person and just know that, yeah, they've never lost a match because they don't. Counting it sounds like too much work.
I think if they put the U.S. title on Cena, it could actually elevate the U.S. title back to meaning something.
Will he bring back the spinner belt?
No.
I would love to see him just dust it off for one appearance. I'd love it.
You know, we keep saying that about all of these mid-card belts, and then they still mean absolutely nothing because they lose to R-Truth on a shitty SmackDown.
I think the United States title is a title that actually means something more than a lot of people are understanding.
Right now?
I think, oh yeah, I think Rusev is the first champion in a while that he's actually making the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very
not
good.
It's not Dean Ambrose, who, granted, Dean Ambrose is a great wrestler, but it was just like, all right, Dean Ambrose, who is the United States champion. This is not the United States champion, Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
See, and so Dean Ambrose barely defended that title, and I'm so in the Intercontinental belt. I love some of the matchups they've been doing, because it's almost like you don't know who's going to be champion next. So I kind of like that aspect of it. But then again, it's like, all right, we have a feud between Luke Harper and Dolph Ziggler, and then that kind of just ends out of nowhere, and then Barrett becomes champion, and then, okay, Dolph doesn't really go back for the title. Granted, okay, put him to the world title, but they haven't done that.
Do you see them unifying the United States and Intercontinental title anytime?
Nope.
No, I don't see them doing that.
No.
All right. Okay, go.
I was going to say, I think they could put the title, or keep it on Rusev, have Rusev go for the Intercontinental title, unify them. That's where I really hope sometime down the line they bring back either the light heavyweight title or cruiserweight title, just so you can have more guys go after a certain title rather than the U.S. and Intercontinental title meaning the same thing.
I don't think they're going to bring back those titles because it's a restriction title. Because you're basically saying you have to be this size and weight and all this to be this champion. Okay, but then that's all you're seen as. You're not seen as a world heavyweight competitor.
Would you say Wade Barrett is a world heavyweight competitor right now?
I think he could be.
Well, yeah, if you build him up, but the same with the cruiserweights.
But what I'm saying is, like, you had a guy like Rey Mysterio. That's a light heavyweight cruiserweight champion. But they managed to stick him into the world. He won the world heavyweight title.
So you don't think that they could do that with Daniel Bryan?
Would he be cruiserweight material?
Yeah. He would be right there in that group.
Like I said, the light heavyweight title as well. Because I think the weight limit was 15 or 20 pounds heavier than what the cruiserweight was.
Yeah.
And
which,
as we see,
which really, when it came down to it, like, well, the light heavyweight title was a joke.
Yeah.
I can probably name a handful of champions, but I think most of those champions were jokes.
Gilbert.
And
Gilbert and S.A. Rios.
X-Pac, I think, was as well.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, does any of us really give a shit if they add another title if they're not going to do anything with it?
I don't think they are going to add another title.
I don't either, because they're not using the ones that they have now. So what's the difference if you add another one? Even if you take one away and add one, you're still not going to do anything with it.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the roster right now, you could make a cruiser division with what's on the roster. But would it matter?
I don't know. I got kind of distracted too, so let's move on. All right, so next up is... What's on?
What's on?
And, Katie, what's on?
Well, I did watch the SNL 40th anniversary show, and it was okay for what it was. It was good. I mean, people were pretty much shitting on Eddie Murphy. He just came out and said thank you, and that was it. He didn't do anything fun. But
what do you mean? People who shit on it, this is the way I look at it. It wasn't a real SNL episode, so
yeah,
I wasn't expecting
thing.
Yeah. It was, a lot of celebration
and nostalgia
for the show, because there was, I mean, most of the audience was just former cast members and stars. So it was people who were big deal. So it was kind of honoring. It was kind of like an award show without an award.
Yeah.
To the point where they even had the memorandum part where they look back and
tons of montages and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. They only really had like 3 or 4 normal segments.
Mm-hmm.
As in they did the Celebrity Jeopardy, which was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
The Weekend Update, which was a tailored kind of to be what it was.
Yeah.
The Californians, which I don't like. I don't like it, period. And then there might have been like one other one that I can't think of. If I don't want to count
like
the opening
song
segment,
and dance one with Martin Short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Oh, Wayne's World.
Yeah, the
Wayne's World.
That was
another
one.
Cool. But other than that, it was just a big celebration that we are SNL, 45 years, blah, blah, blah. I watched all of it when it was live, and then I watched bits and pieces of it later.
Yeah,
it was good.
I skipped over. I went to I pretty much enjoyed the montages and the flashbacks a lot more. I mean, the Wayne's World was good. The weekend update was fun. I liked when Melissa McCarthy came out and did her as Matt Foley.
You are kicked off the show. I hate Melissa McCarthy. She is ruining my childhood. Ghostbusters. She's in that movie, and I can do a better Matt Foley than she could. That Matt Foley was horrible.
At first when she came out, I thought she came out as the character Pat.
Oh my god, that would have been a better one.
That's what I thought it was, but now all in all, I like the show. I thought it was fun.
And if anybody thinks I'm sexist, Emma Stone, when she did the Roseanne or whatever that character. That was perfect. That was dead on. Melissa McCarthy's fucking Matt Foley was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And the funny thing is I got the friend that I mentioned earlier who's a big anti-Triple H guy. I guess when he was watching it, because I put out a tweet saying, I could do a better Matt Foley than that. He's like, dude, I said the same thing. And he was referring not that he could do it. He said that I could do a better one. So what else have you been watching?
Other than that, I've been playing on my Xbox a lot, watched a lot of YouTube stuff, Nostalgia Critic. I watched an old one of him reviewing Alice in Wonderland, the Tim Burton version. That was fun.
I don't think I've seen that one, because it's ironically enough, I've caught up on a lot of his stuff. I enjoy it. I watched the Matrix trilogy that he did.
Yeah, I saw those.
The most recent commercial one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple others that I've seen. I enjoy watching his, because that's like... It's literally almost the length of a regular TV show, some of those. So it's like 20, 25 minutes, and they go by quick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, other than Raw and stuff.
Nothing else wrestling related? No NXT?
I watched The Rival, the highlights of it, and I caught the full version. I thought that was... I liked the women's match a lot, and the main event was awesome. And I heard you guys recap what they've done on iTunes. I downloaded the episode. That was a lot of fun. You guys were so into it. So that was a good show. I enjoyed the Balor match with Neville. It was awesome. I mean, they do good shows every time when they do a special, or every show each week gets better and better.
Mm-hmm. All right. Biohazard, what's on?
Well, I watched NXT, and wrestling-wise, that's pretty much it. I tried to watch John Cena Greatest Rivalries, but it was just a match compilation. It was not what I was hoping it would be. So I only got about halfway through it, and I just turned it off. I watched Scary Movie 5, which was a bad decision.
Okay, I got one question for you. How did you watch it?
On Netflix.
Okay, because at least you did that. Because that's a movie series that, I loved one. I loved two. Actually, two is one of those that's it was just as good as one, which you barely have in movie series.
Yeah.
Three was and then three was so bad, I've not even seen the rest.
It was all right. It had its moments where I was like, eh, that's pretty funny, but other than that, if you have a Netflix subscription, watch it, but I wouldn't go out of your way to see it. It wasn't that the best.
Well, the first two was done by the Wayans family, right? And then they just dropped out of the rest of the sequels?
It was something like that.
Yeah.
Or they were a part of it, but they weren't what they were. It was something where they backed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one and two is such classic. I haven't seen them in years, and I think two for me has more memorable parts than one. Nothing else?
Not really. I went out and bought the new Halo Master Chief Collection that came out last year, and I've been playing on Xbox Live for the last 4 or 5 days. That's all I've really been doing. Oh, and not really what's on, but I may have a musical thing coming up, but nothing's set in stone yet.
Are you going to sing for Katie?
No, I've been in five different bands before, so this might be another musical opportunity, but nothing set in stone just yet.
So just to be sure, it's not like a musical play, it's just a music band kind of thing.
Yeah. I've been...
Because when you say musical, he's in a musical? No.
it's a music opportunity. I've been in five different bands, I've played shows in Augusta and around the area, but this one, it's going to be a new adventure, so...
if it happens, but nothing, like I said, nothing set in stone. So we're supposed to have meetings. We might do them this weekend at the earliest. So that's what's on.
All right, Mop, what's on for you?
Well, let's see, NXT, Raw, whatever. Yeah, wrestling. I've been watching 12 Monkeys, the TV series.
That's racist.
On Sci-Fi.
Yes.
I have not seen.
It's actually pretty good. It's the same characters from the movie, but, you know, more in-depth and better storyline. And Helix also. I like my silly, goofy sci-fi shows.
Let me see. For me, since I've pretty much taken a week off from work, I've caught up on Doctor Who, which is excellent. I was actually hoping to talk to Wayne and Devil Vamp about it, but I had Mop here. We talked a little bit about it. Which, by the way, Mop, when we were on Anything Goes, we were talking about spoiling Doctor Who for me. Was it that Missy was the master?
I don't even fucking remember.
Because I already knew that.
I think it was just the overall spoiling of it.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing, because I already got ruined by that on Facebook, which I was kind of like, eh, but I'll still watch. And I wasn't 100% sure, but it ended up what happening. I caught up also on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's a good
show. I love that. Mm-hmm. I need to catch up on a few more shows. I got to catch up on Two Broke Girls. That's what I might do tomorrow. What else? I watched NXT Rivals, which we will talk in a little bit more here in a couple segments. What else did I watch? A little bit on the Nostalgia Critic. I caught up on a lot of my YouTube shows that I try to watch. I'll say one thing. I was never a big YouTube viewer until they came out with that damn app. Like on for Xbox, because now it's like I'm watching stuff on TV.
Yeah.
So it's like awesome. It's like an extra channel. I love it. There is the fun part. I'll share the story with you guys. I went to restart up my Netflix. So I was like, fuck it. You know, I have Hulu, but sometimes I want to watch a little bit more movies. So I go to restart up on my Xbox. I had to put in a new debit card number, which was fine because it's been a while since I had it. I totally forgot that my ex had a Netflix account. I restarted up her account without even fucking knowing it. And after I realized, it's like, oh, it said her name. I was like, oh, fuck. I had to send her a message, like a text, and I was like, I restarted your Netflix account. I'm like, I put in my card number. Don't worry. But, you know, it's under your account. Then she was like, well, you can just change the password. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this on Xbox, not on my laptop. Like, and I don't have that information on my laptop. She was like, oh, okay. So basically what we did was she canceled it. But I also gave her basically a free month of Netflix. Because she can watch it for the next month, too.
Well, that was really nice of you.
Yeah, fuck her. Anyway. What else did I watch? I think that's pretty much it, especially catching up on a lot of Nostalgia Critic stuff. There's a lot there that I had been behind on.
I enjoy watching him. He makes me laugh so much.
I'm so on him. Like, when I first started watching him, my big problem was sometimes I thought he would get too critical on stuff. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he's evolved through time, too.
Wait, I feel that. Somebody on the internet got too critical about something? No, you don't say.
No. Somebody named the critic.
The Nostalgia Critic. I think that's pretty much it. I got a couple movies I got to catch up on, and a couple TV shows that I got to catch up on, too, so that's pretty much it. I watched Raw, and I don't think I've watched... What else did I watch on the network? Triple H versus Shawn Michaels rivalry. My only problem with that, it's really half rivalry, half friendship.
Yeah.
It's not like Matt Hardy and Edge, which there's like, okay, they feuded as the Hardy Boys and Edge and Christian, and then later on you have these problems with Matt Hardy and Edge. But it was basically like they were together through DX, and then Shawn left. And then he came back, and there was a problem. And then he wrestled, and they had this great series of matches. And they went on and off for a couple years. And then they reunited as DX again, in the end.
I like that series, but they don't come out with shows very often. It's been a little while.
The next one I think I want to watch is Roddy Piper versus Hogan.
That one was good.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Let me see. And then I don't think I'll do it for what's on, and let's move to the WrestleMania warm-up question, but the question I have for this week for the WrestleMania warm-up, as I'm getting up my notes because I wrote it down, is If you could go to any WrestleMania in history, which would you go to? And I ask this as you could go right now. Like, we're going to go, we're going to have a time machine. We're going to get the TARDIS out, and we're going to take you to particular WrestleMania. And, or, you can answer it as however old you were when the event happened. Like, for example, that I've always used WrestleMania 12 when I was 10. That I would go, it'd be fun to go when I was 10, to enjoy it at that age. And to not know the outcome of anything. So, I'll ask you guys first, obviously.
I would say I would go to WrestleMania 3, but I wasn't even a year old, so that would be a way, I wouldn't even remember even if I could go back at that age, but I would go there as my age now,
mm-hmm.
and I guess WrestleMania 5 too, because that was the first one I ever saw.
Mm-hmm. Biohazard?
Mine would either be 23 or 25, because there's a match on each card that I would have loved to seen live. 23 being Shawn Michaels versus John Cena, 25 being Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker. And I would go there as my age now, because I feel like now I have more appreciation for the product than I did back then, 5 years ago.
How about Matt?
I'm going to go way, way back in time and go to WrestleMania 30. just to be part of that excitement.
The Yes Movement.
Yeah. And then the Undertaker losing, being part of all that, and
having a heart attack watching.
Exactly.
You would be the face
the black
guy.
Exactly.
I wish I'd have recorded myself at the end of that match, because you know, you always see these reaction videos out. I had that brief moment where I paused, but I was like, I celebrated. Just because. It's not that I don't like The Undertaker. It's just I think the streak had to go. I wanted to see it go, and I was happy to see it go.
I think it's funny. A year later, we're still talking about the streak ending. So obviously, passing it on.
It's going to be talked about every year.
Yeah, passing it to Brock really was the right move. Mm-hmm. He's the top guy in the company. We're still talking about it, and we're going into what could be his last WrestleMania for now.
Yeah. For me, you're going to hear a lot of my question answers, but I try not to, like some of the other questions I'm thinking of, it won't come up, but Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12, if I'm picking something where I go at that age, it has to be that one, because I think to experience that live as a kid, I would have went nuts. That would have been like the highlight of my childhood, to see that at that age. And then if I were to go back in time to any WrestleMania, I was going to actually say 30. But I think 1, 10, 20, and 30 are all great ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all had a very good significance. 1 obviously being the first one. The 10 was the first time they went back to New York. 20 was the second time they went back to New York at Madison Square Garden. Last time they went there. And 10, and especially 20... The cards were kind of historic in one way or another. 20 was more than 10, and then 30, because everything that was 30. 30 was fucking remarkable.
All different generations, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was Caesar's, where they did all the Greek stuff?
Yeah, 9.
See, that's one I would have, at the age, would have loved to have been at, just because of the set and them coming to the ring, and that was all
pretty
cool.
Bobby Heenan on a camel backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, that one... I think that one's got bad reviews for people like who go back and rewatch between that and 11.
I don't care what internet people think.
I'm not just saying internet people.
People have joy just for the whole spectacle and stuff.
I'm not saying internet people in general. I'm saying anybody.
I've
known people who go back every year and rewatch them, and they've said, like, yeah, like 11, too. Come on, dude. 11 was definitely a bad one.
I like spectacle.
Do you remember the main event for WrestleMania 11? The actual main event, the match that went on last?
Be glad that I remember.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just be glad I remember what the main event of WrestleMania 30 was.
Yeah. Do you remember the main event for WrestleMania 29?
Was that one of the Roxanas?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That was twice in a lifetime.
Just twice in a lifetime.
So I'm guessing 28 was the first in a lifetime?
Good boy. You're a sprite. All right. That'll do it for the WrestleMania warm-up. It sucks with only four people, but when three other people can't make the show, this is what happens.
Well, fuck it.
Katie's got two words for you.
And next up, we're going to go to the picks. Okay. Double Vamp didn't send me the picks for what we did last month, so I don't have that. I do know DRG swept, and he about called something else, too. I can't remember what. He might brag about it in his email. I have to go back and reread it, because that's something that he did send. So, there's that. I don't know where we started. I don't know where we ended.
Well, but just say our picks now, and then we'll figure out next week the results.
Yeah, Devil Vamp will wrap you up on all that, but we'll go through the card a little bit. Is there any match on here, because just press being pressed for time, that anybody wants to talk about minus the last match? Because that's something that we'll definitely talk about at the end.
Cena Rusev.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about NXT.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the upcoming, sorry.
No, we're going to go review TakeOver a little bit.
I think Mop said it during the NXT show thing that we did. We only really cared about the last three matches.
Yeah, I guess.
It was like, yeah, I wanted to see the first couple matches, but outside of that, your top matches were your last three matches. Your Divas, your Baylor versus Neville, and then the main event.
The sad thing is I think you could have taken the dark match and replaced it with the tag team match, and it would have been a better card.
What was the dark?
Was the Enzo and Kaz versus the Vaudevillains.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes. I'd have cared much more about that than I did the Create a Wrestler 1 and 2 versus Create a Mexican Wrestler 1 and 2.
They can do a triple threat against a generic black tag team.
Primetime Players?
No, the Mountie. I was listening to an old AH and PK show, and he did his ROH review. And he actually talked. He actually met. There was some tag team. I can't remember what.
It was Cedric Alexander and Caprice Coleman.
Yeah, generic black tag team.
Yes.
Might as well get Shad Gaspard and JTG back.
Brooklyn.
That's stereotypical black tag team.
Yeah, it's true. Does anybody want to talk about the first three matches at all? Hideo Breeze, Corbin Dempsey, and generic tag team 1 and 2 versus L generic tag team 1 2.
Baron Corbin sucked.
Most of that, the first half of NXT is going to be on Botchmania.
It's kind of funny, looking at the Wikipedia page, the match time between the first three matches and the last three matches are drastic. Hideo Tommy versus Breeze, 8 minutes, 13 seconds. Corbin versus Dempsey, 4 minutes, 15 seconds. Tag team match, 8 minutes, 10 seconds. Here we go. Baylor, Neville, 13 minutes, 45 seconds. Fatal 4-Way, women's match, 12 minutes, 28 seconds. Owens versus Zayn, 23 minutes, 27 seconds.
So the title match got more time than the first three matches combined.
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, and I think the only reason that the Divas match or the women's match was only 12 minutes is because they had four entrances to go through.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that counts entrances.
No, that sounds like bell to bell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, you're saying they would have had more, but it wasn't. Yeah,
right. It would have been a longer match, but they had to get through four entrances.
Yeah.
I think the Tommy match was a great opener to get people excited, but then after that, it just kind of they died down again.
To me, I just not into Tommy at all.
He's a good worker. It's just when you bring guys in, you have to have something that draws your attention to him, and he hasn't really done anything. So it's like, yeah, he had the feud with the Ascension, but then what? Nothing. Nobody cares. And Tyler Breeze, this is his first match back as well.
Although he had a great selfie stick.
That damn, the selfie stick got more time than most of the Divas on Raw.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, we will, from this point, let's disregard the first three matches, even though I would love to see that dark match. Baylor.
Hold on, let's get this out of the way now. Yes, DRG, we know Solomon Crowe had a promo, or a vignette. he'll be on next week or
but
this
he,
week.
Just... He really didn't. It was just graphics on the screen.
I'll see you next week.
I'm definitely watching NXT this week, too. Fuck, I forgot about that part. I did read some spoilers, and I'm not going to talk about them.
Yeah, I read them, too.
But these tapings are really interesting by some of the talent choices they're using, and I'm curious to what they're going to do.
I'm curious to what actually is going to be on TV and what was a dark part of the taping.
There probably wasn't a whole lot of dark time because most of the bigger names were probably on tour with WWE in Abu Dhabi. Which is probably why some of those names are on there.
No, because I think it's WWE wants to start using outside talent for NXT.
You think so?
They don't want to bring down their talent from WWE because it kind of waters down the product. You're either having people who are so low that you're going to use them for this particular product, and it kind of devalues them. Like, even though I liked him, Curt Hawkins, you threw him on there, it's basically saying, he can't get a win on the main roster. He can't get a win down here. He's out the door. But you throw in somebody who's not necessarily a part of WWE and you have a special appearance by them, that can be looked at a different way. And that also adds to the people who are coming to these events. Which, I forgot to mention earlier, I'm going to NXT Cleveland.
Woohoo!
I meant to mention...
Fuck you again.
Dude, okay. Tickets were sold out within an hour for a fucking NXT show. Re-fucking-diculous.
Mm-hmm.
And the seats that I got, granted, they're only $15 each. I got two. Still, were just general admission. The better seats for front row and everything it's not that they were sold out quick. I got to the website around 10:08. I didn't actually get a ticket till like 10:30. Because the website was having trouble loading, and I tried on my phone, my computer, and I was going back and forth between the two. And then finally I had one hold, because I'd be like, alright, I want this ticket, and then it would be like, oh, error. So. But yep, I'm going to NXT Cleveland.
Do a Devil Vamp review of the show.
No. I don't do that. I can give you the inside track of what they're doing at NXT, or you can just watch the product.
Ooh,
it's just it's just a non-televised show. It's not that special. It's special to be there, but it's just yeah.
I was gonna say for NXT, this is actually a really big deal.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, that part. The fact that they're going on the road for the first time out of the state of Florida. You should have went to the Columbus one.
Dude, I couldn't.
They could have, you just didn't get tickets quick enough.
Yeah, I didn't have the money when they went on sale. I was thinking, I was just NXT, dude, I can get tickets later.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, too. And then a couple hours later, I read that they were sold out. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. That's why I had to get on it for this. And like I said, for Cleveland, sold out within an hour. Jesus Christ. Granted, the venue is small. I've been there before for wrestling. I'm not expecting a lot out of it, but... I'm just hoping it has an indie feel. I want to get to actually meet some of these NXT guys. I want to have that indie feel to where I get to take a picture with Charlotte and Enzo and Owens again and Zayn again.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't. I don't want them going to the bigger arenas. It just, I don't know. Seems like it would take away from them.
But. Oh yeah. You're not going to be TNA and go to a big arena and not be able to sell it out.
No, but I think they could easily sell out a 5,000-seat arena.
Oh, yeah. What I'm saying is it's TNA shooting too high, but WWE is actually being smart with the NXT. They're shooting low. That also makes their tickets in demand.
Very in demand.
There's a lot of people who, like, because granted, the Agora's website, who's hosting the venue, their website was terrible. There's people online bitching about it on Twitter. And also the same night, it's a big venue to where they actually have multiple rooms. Also the same night, a concert from those who've ever heard of the artist, Blaze Dead Homie, who is associated with ICP and Juggalos.
So you got doubleheader tickets, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep, me and Shane are going. The Cucumber World Tour.
I was going to say, bring the Cucumber and Lube.
Oh, dude, he doesn't like lube.
I know. God, I keep forgetting that.
We don't talk about God on the show.
God, Buddha, God, Buddha, Buddha, God.
Buddha, God. Well, I am Buddha. I got a belly of one. Does anybody want to say anything about the last three matches in general? I got a lot to say on the last match, but the other two, like, I don't have as much.
Yeah,
well, I like the women's match a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. All the women worked really hard in that match. They all got great moves. I mean, I love when Sasha did a dive on Becky Lynch and Bayley, and then Charlotte did a dive on all three of them. That was amazing. I mean, it was a great match. I mean, I can't say anything like bad about it. It was good, all of them. And I think I picked Bayley to win, but I'm glad Sasha won. I think it was her time to have the title now.
When we were doing that recording, and you probably heard it, when Mod said something about Sasha winning, I was like, oh, fuck, you're right. Because that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like with Zayn. It was like you appreciate the hunt for the title more than them actually being champion.
Yeah, I kind of think if Bayley's going to become champion, they're going to work on something a little bit better.
Yeah.
She'll probably be the next one after Sasha has it for a while.
Well, yeah. I think that's what I said when we was doing the recording. It was, you had to take Charlotte had to lose. That way, at the next event, Charlotte gets a rematch, and then she's out of the title picture and onto the main roster after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next set of tapings is supposed to carry on through Mania.
Yeah, because the one thing that I don't want to see again is, all right, we need to crown a women's champion. All right, Paige wins. Yay. Okay, she goes to the main roster. Oh, we got to take away the title now. Yay, Charlotte's champion. If they were going to go that route one more time, I was going to be like, all right, let's not stop this.
They don't need to do that again. They shouldn't repeat stuff, even though they have a tendency to do that. But they shouldn't do that with Charlotte. They should do something different with her.
Woo. Yeah.
Something, I don't know, special.
Yeah.
Well, they did it. Well, they did it to the point of she actually lost the title. She didn't have to go through the... We didn't have to, like, okay, she goes to the main roster. Okay, we got to do another tournament.
That was the part that actually surprised me. They pinned her. Sasha pinned Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it would be Sasha pinned the red-headed chick, whatever her name
Becky
was.
Lynch.
Becky
Lynch. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
The red-headed chick.
And something I found out while doing the research, and I kind of alluded to earlier, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Becky Lynch are the three wrestlers, female wrestlers in NXT, who have experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is Emma considered NXT at this point? Do we know?
No, she's main roster.
Do you put her back? Well, she's in limbo is what it is, but...
Yeah. But of the... Because it's these four, Carmella and some other bitch.
Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
Yeah, she was model.
Alexa Bliss was model.
The new Hooters girl. I already forgot her name.
Well, I'm not counting her yet. I'm counting your TV roster. But Alexa Bliss was a model. Carmella was a she's not a second generation wrestler. Her dad, I think it was her dad was a football player or something. Or no, she was a cheerleader. I know that, but her dad has some recognition. I can't remember what.
I'm just not a fan of her.
Yeah,
a heel diva with a face tag team is ridiculous.
No. With a popular face tag team.
What about a heel tag team with a face manager?
It doesn't make sense.
Dude, what do you consider Tyson Kidd and Natalya?
They're married. They're a married couple. So it's like, they're Total Divas is on, so they're going to have them. Oh, here's them on Total Divas having problems. Let's make it a storyline.
Yeah, this is a way for them to incorporate Total Divas is what it is.
I don't see her as a... They kind of have her borderline of turning heel, but still being face. Mm-hmm. And actually what they had on Raw made it seem like she's in the more of the face mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wait. You mean to tell me that the Divas on the main roster, you're not sure if they're heel or face?
No, just that one.
Alicia Fox? Rosa Mendez?
Eva Marie?
Paige?
Eva Marie don't count. She hasn't been wrestling in like 3 months.
She's just eye candy for Total Divas, that's all it is.
People hate it when I say this, but I want her to become Divas champion because the backlash would be great. She is a bona fide heel.
Oh yeah, I could see her being a total bitch.
It doesn't take much.
No, I don't think it's a far stretch at all.
But it's just the internet backlash. And I've said this, if she wins, she has to pin AJ or she has to pin Paige. Because the IWC will go nuts and I will laugh hysterically.
Hashtag cancel WWE Network again.
Hashtag cancel Total Divas.
Yeah, good luck with both.
Hashtag fight Jonathan, yeah.
Which I hate saying this with KD on the line, but I do not miss AJ Lee whatsoever right now.
Nope.
Nothing?
No.
Chirp.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you always post rumors like, oh, she's coming back. I'm like, oh, God, I hope not.
Did you post the one about her being pregnant?
No, there's supposedly rumors of her coming back, and it almost sounds like it's going to be after Fastlane, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
they're going to have somebody in the title picture.
Going into Mania, yeah.
I'd rather it be Natalya, but God, they're going to do it.
I honestly think Natalya's title days are done.
They may do like another big whole Diva Battle Royal like they did last year with every girl in there.
Can Santina be in it?
Same.
Do you know, speaking of which, who I want to see come back is Tamina.
Yeah.
She's
got to
be ready, yeah.
I'd have a bigger pop over Tamina coming back over AJ.
Maybe they could have a feud together.
I think they should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they kind of left that unresolved, but that is the Divas division, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
not the fact that it's the Divas division, it's just AJ left and Tamina got injured at the same time.
The Bellas split up and then, oh, we're back.
Blood is thicker than water.
Yeah.
They even mentioned in the interview saying that they didn't like how they didn't have like a ending
payoff,
to whatever it did. So
I almost feel bad for Charlotte if she does have to go to the main roster.
Mm.
It's gonna be Charlotte versus Natty.
But the problem is it'll be a 3-minute match.
Yep.
I think it'll. I think we're gonna end up seeing Charlotte and Natty tagged together. I see a New Age Bella, not a New Age Bella Twins, but...
A New Age Divas of Doom.
Kind of.
A New Age HLA?
I would love to see another Divas of Doom. I love the Divas of Doom.
They never acknowledged that on TV, though, did they? I don't remember.
If they didn't call them the Divas of Doom, they called them something else.
Yeah.
But they actually had, like, the little spikes that they used to put on their shoulders.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was very short-lived. They had their little feud with Lay Cool, and that was it.
Lay Cool. That was the time I thought they should have introduced the women's tag titles, if they were to ever do something.
No, never. Never, 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 never. Yeah. I've also been a firm component of the women's tag team titles need to stay in the organizations that are nothing but women, because it's just too much.
Yeah, there's not enough time or people on the roster to pull off.
That's why I said back then. Right now, heck no, there's not enough time.
Well, even back then, the roster wasn't that deep.
Well, back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. Who's all on me?
What?
Nobody. I said back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. Who's all on me?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Who? Mike Jones. Anyway.
Well, back then they had the Divas of Doom. They had Lay Cool. When I believe the Bellas were getting introduced or something then. I know they're at least in FCW as the Garcia Twins. So it's like you had at least three teams and they could have built more. But it's the fact that they're not focusing on Divas anymore.
That sounds a lot like the men's tag team division.
Yeah, exactly. Which goes back to my improve.
Yep.
This was just a big runaround so I can get back to my improve.
So you can hammer home the point that they need to improve the tag team division?
Yes.
Now, do you think they'll ever go woman versus man again?
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
They don't need to.
Yeah, I don't think
it works.
No, that needs to be done with.
If it's like woman like China or woman like Karma or woman like Havoc.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did one time Natty versus Tyson Kidd in a match.
That would be, size-wise, they're fairly
They train with
match.
Each other and stuff. They could work off each other well, I think.
Natty might actually be bigger than Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
I don't know. Natty's fat, even though she always puts pictures of her in the gym. Anyway. Back to NXT. Let's get into the main event. The main event match: Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn. I fucking loved it.
We all know you did.
Let's be honest. I think we all loved it.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Insane.
It was insane.
It was so crazy.
That KO was insane.
And some people are raged about the ending, about it, like, referee stoppage, and he gets awarded the belt. I thought it made sense. It was perfect.
I was legit surprised by it, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of
people were. It shocked me. But then when you looked at the bigger picture, it was like, okay, it makes sense. But I didn't see that ending coming.
Yeah.
All they have to say is, because if people are wondering about the rules, be like, well, this is NXT, if these are our rules. They're not exactly like the main roster. That's all they have to do.
Different.
Really? Somebody's going to complain about the rules of a fake wrestling. Get over yourselves.
People do it all the time. Remember John Cena versus Ryback in the Last Man Standing match? How many people bitched about that ending? Because okay, Devil Vamp, you almost started saying it.
No, I said care. I don't know.
I thought you said
no. I just some people need to take themselves just a little bit less seriously. It is a television show meant to entertain you. It is not a sport. It is God. You know what I mean by that?
No, it's a sport, T-Mac. It's a sport.
It's a sporting encounter, but it's not like a football game where there's a winner, an undetermined winner and loser. Who cares?
Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Exactly. Just fucking watch and shut the fuck up.
Watch, enjoy, and be happy. Bitch about it on Twitter later.
As long as you put a hashtag through the table.
Yep.
Like, once I knew Zayn was going to Abu Dhabi the next day, and that's when the taping was, it's like, okay, makes sense that they took title off of him.
Well, it's like I said in on that recording, they could have very well did it the other way around, where he is beat up so bad that he's not on the taping, but he's still champion.
Yeah,
but that's a long time to keep him off of TV. That's a month's worth of tapings.
They did 3 weeks.
Oh, they only did 3 weeks. They only did 3 weeks. Yeah, how many people bitch about Brock?
No, they recorded 4 weeks. What I'm saying, they did 3 weeks for the last set too, where he wasn't on it for 3 weeks, and then week four was when he came back.
Yeah, because he threw in those little cell phone recorded video of him at his house.
Yeah. They could have done something like that, too.
Alright, and
match of the year.
Right, moving on.
I want to say just one thing, though, on Kevin Owens' Twitter. I like the fact that he posts pictures of his little baby holding the belt. I thought that was cute.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
His daughter, that was pretty cool. And it was like the next day or something like that.
So much for being a heel. Kayfabe is dead.
Belt's bigger than her.
I mean, but he NXT also understands its audience.
Yeah.
Like, most of, I'm going to guess 90% of the people that watch NXT, they know that he's not really a bad guy.
He said what he was going to do, and he did it.
He's providing for his family.
Just like Chris Jericho said, people don't like honesty.
Yeah.
On my television, I want them to play their role. What they do in their free time, I'm fine with. If he wants to take pictures with his kids in the belt, I'm fine with that. But on the TV, be a heel. If you're going to be a heel, be a heel.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay, let's go on to the Pick'ems part for this Sunday's Fast Lane. Devil Vamp once again. Of course, did send the points and everything, so I don't know where we're going into this. So we are just going to make our picks, and hopefully everybody else who is supposed to make picks makes picks. Hint. And we are going to start with Stardust versus Goldust, which was a spoiler for SmackDown. Let's start with Katie.
Yeah, I'm picking Stardust to win this one. He's got a lot of aggression, and I think he'll take it out on Goldust even more and win.
Biohazard.
I'm going to go Goldust, but I'm going to wager a point that it's by disqualification.
Yes, I'm writing it down. I'm going to say write it down, putting it in a laptop or spreadsheet.
So Goldust winning by disqualification is my wagered point.
Okay. And Mop.
Well, first off, I'm going to begin my quest to overtake Ant in one pay-per-view. I'm going to take Goldust also, and I do think it's going to be a DQ, but I don't have any points, so I can't put points on it. So just Goldust wins.
Wait, hold on. Ant was able to wager a point when he didn't have points.
I'm not going negative.
I didn't think he did. I don't thought he didn't wager points until the second one when he had points, and then he pissed them all away.
And he put all of them on one match.
Yeah, that he lost. And I'm going to pick... I got to agree with Goldust by DQ. That makes sense.
Is that a point wagered?
Fuck no. You do the dumb shit.
You agreed that that's what it was going to be, but it's a dumb thing to wager a point on.
No, betting. I'm not going to bet on it.
Can I?
Because if I'm wrong, it means I just don't get a point. It doesn't mean I'm deducted a point.
Can I put 5 points on that they'll come out in face paint?
No. No, DRG.
Can I put 5 points on out there and come out in spandex?
You can wager points that they're going to come out and wrestle in a ring with four ropes.
Surprising nobody raised a point about Dusty getting involved.
Because they don't think he can physically get involved.
He's going to be standing outside going, "Hey, hey, just a common man."
Now, yeah, that would be a good question, a good something to put a point on, whether Dusty's music plays or not.
I'm not wagering.
Whether he gets an entrance.
I don't know. But let's move on. Next match, tag team title match, the Usos versus the Brass Ring Club, as I'm putting them on here. Katie.
You know, I'll say Kid and Cesaro take the win and take the titles. They've been on a hot streak so far. Why not give them the belts? I think they'll win.
As long as Cesaro's Twitter account doesn't get hacked.
Wishing cancer upon people.
Biohazard.
I'm going to go Usos.
I think I'll stick with the Usos. I don't think they're going to see a whole lot of action.
I'm going to go with the Brass Ring Club. Kind of a hopeful wish, but...
Team Swiss and Natty's husband, yeah.
My only thing is if the Brass Ring Club wins, it's because they've given up on the Ascension.
I wouldn't say they've given up. I don't think...
At least for the time being.
You don't need them to become tag team. I would say you don't need them to become tag team champions, but your tag team division is pretty shallow.
I was going to say, they're like one step down from tag team champions.
Yeah, but they got the primetime players to worry about for right now. If that's the direction they're going.
Who knows?
All right. Next up, the Intercontinental title match, Bad News Barrett versus Dean Ambrose. Katie.
As much as I want the title to change hands, I mean, the matches, the pay-per-view matches, at least for Ambrose, have not been ending well for him. So I'll say Barrett retains.
All right. Bowser?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news. I'm going Barrett.
Okay. Making sure you didn't turn that into bad news for Barrett.
Sorry, I'm not pulling a heavy.
Yeah, I would do it, but I can't be too loud. Mop.
Give me Barrett.
Where are you at, Mop?
Actually at home in the computer room.
I'm going to pick... I'm going to have to pick Barrett.
This is everybody against Katie Knight.
She took Barrett too, didn't you?
I said Barrett.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute.
In the last match, Heavy and her.
And watch, Ambrose will probably win.
Yeah.
Well, also, the other guys have to make their picks too. There's still four people that need to make picks.
The only one that matters is Ant.
Mott trying to get his revenge from the NFL Easy Pick season. And once again, DRG's in. I think he's still in first place, fucker.
He cheated to get there.
Yep, he did. As he's cussing while he's listening to this. Nikki Bella versus Paige. I should already put down Wayne. I know he's going to pick.
He'll probably wager 2 points that Paige will be naked, hopefully.
All right, so Katie.
Not really caring about the Smashing, but just hoping there's something good for WrestleMania. But I'll say Nikki retains. No, I'll wager a point AJ returns that night.
Okay. I think that'll be on Raw, but okay.
Yeah, I actually think Raw matters more to them than these pay-per-views do.
At least Fastlane, yeah.
I think what matters is the Raw after. Yeah. Because after that, a lot of them don't seem to matter as much.
I think Raw number 300 of the year matters more than any pay-per-view.
300 of the year? Really?
Yeah, because don't they consider each hour-long episode each hour an episode?
No.
Isn't that how they got to the 1,000 that quick?
What do you mean that quick? Do the math. They've been on since 93.
I was thinking they'd only been around like 10 years.
No.
It's been 20 years.
You just ignored all the whole like Attitude Era and everything.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, like Bobby Heenan, Shawn Michaels, the fucking
Manhattan Center.
Manhattan Center, yeah. Yeah, that was fucking 93. Anyway, Biohazard.
I'm going to go Nikki retaining as well.
I really
don't give a fuck. I guess Nikki.
Just remember, if you get it right, you're probably going to beat Ant.
And I'm going to also pick Nikki.
I'm sure Vamp's listening to this going, no, I'm going to pick Paige because everybody picked Nikki.
That's the thing, too. All these other people are going to pick after knowing all our picks. So, like, we've all picked Bad News Bear. We've all picked Bella.
I ain't scared.
Some of these people could switch it. And be like, oh, I'm going to pick opposite, which yeah. I understand picking Paige, which Devil Vamp also picked Charlotte because he retweeted her. Yeah, Paige retweeted me. I'm still not fucking picking her. She's more or less caused me harm by my phone blowing the fuck up. Next, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan. Katie.
Hi, my Lanta. Boy, this is hard. I mean, the only outcome...
That's what she said.
Yeah. Let it. Keep going.
I was looking at That's Roman. What she I said. Can't help if it was hard.
I see this match ending in a DQ. I can't pick a winner.
Technically, well, if it's a double DQ, technically, I think that's a pick, if you want it to be.
Yeah, because no contest would be a pick, yes.
Yeah, a double DQ makes sense.
Okay. Bio?
I'm going to have to go Roman Reigns on this one. Like, I could see the double DQ. I could even see Daniel Bryan winning, but I feel like it needs to be one-on-one Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
So we should believe that.
Yeah.
If it ends clean, I'll be shocked and happy.
All right, Ma.
Give me the Roman.
He's going to make it rain in this bitch.
He needs that as a tagline. He really does.
Besides Humpty Dumpty and Jack and the Beanstalk. And
now, yeah. To be fair, they have gotten away from that.
I think they were doing it. I think people were shitting on it because it was Roman Reigns. But if that were to have been, like, The Rock.
Daniel Bryan.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I like Roman Reigns, and that was bad.
The Rock, I think The Rock could pull off Mercy.
Yes, but Roman doesn't have The Rock's charisma.
But they were trying it out, and it didn't work. And they moved on.
Should have tried it on a house show.
House show's not going to give you the same reaction. Those are more family friendly shows. Like even more of just how they're kind of set up and all that kind of stuff. It's even more for kids, I think.
Believe that.
And I am also going to go Reigns. And then the last match I have put on here, which was the number one match on Wikipedia, John Cena versus Rusev for the United States Champion, or should I say Rusev? Katie.
Cena wins by DQ.
All right. Bye out.
I'm going to go Rusev on this one. I think they're going to play into the eye injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cena wins by DQ.
And I'm going to go Cena too. So, to go over the picks,
So no, no prediction on the Sting Triple H encounter?
I didn't put that down. Does anybody want to put anything down for that?
All it is they're setting up for WrestleMania. It's not really.
You think they'll get physical?
No. Well,
I almost think of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, something's going to happen between them. I mean, they're not just going to look at each other.
Yeah. Hey, you were in WWE and you were in WCW. We should fight at WrestleMania. All right, let's do it. The end.
has Sting said a word yet?
No.
No.
Yeah, so I think he's going to speak. He has to.
Either that or have a bat and point at WrestleMania sign.
Pretty much. Does anybody want to risk any more points? Risk, wager, whatever.
I think I was the only one that wagered a point.
No, Katie didn't on AJ.
AJ return.
I think we're not so much points in this one. People are going to start wagering a lot come WrestleMania.
Can I put a point on that I'm going to finish better than Ant?
I wouldn't do that.
I just want to beat you, Ant, period.
You want to beat him? What?
I'm going to squash him like an ant.
I mean, he is kind of cute.
Wow, really? Anyway, to go over the picks, Katie has Stardust, the Brass Ring Club, Bad News Barrett, Bella, the no contest between Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, John Cena by DQ. I'm just putting down Cena, though, so regardless, Cena. And plus one on AJ's return. Biohazard picked Goldust, Usos, Bad News Barrett, Nikki Bella, Roman Reigns, and Rusev, and a plus one on a DQ for Goldust. Mop has Goldust, Usos, Bad News Barrett, Bella, Reigns, and Cena, and I have Goldust, Brass Ring Club, Bad News Barrett, Nikki Bella, Roman Reigns, and John Cena. And once again, we don't have the current standings. All right, now let's go into
Wayne's water
with Biohazard.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot going into this week. One story I read said that CM Punk reached out to Brock Lesnar, and that Lesnar is now helping CM Punk, giving him advice in the UFC.
Makes sense.
What about the picture that WWE supposedly posted on Instagram saying that CM Punk had quit UFC and he was coming back to WWE?
There was another article that it was a Photoshop picture.
Not surprising.
Yeah. There's another rumor going around that's recirculated about Kevin Nash going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Maybe. Maybe. Probably.
I don't care. I just don't care.
All right, Devil Mop. Cesaro's Twitter was hacked, apparently, wishing cancer to Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that's definitely... he got hacked because there's the proof of it. Well, you can see the screenshots of it, but there's no way that I think Cesaro said anything.
No, dude, I am calling bullshit. He got drunk, tweeted some shit, and then claimed to be hacked. He is Kurt Angle 2.0.
I don't think he's known as a drinker. Like, the only thing he's known to drinking is coffee.
He maybe was just one weekend of you know, weakness.
He had a Brie Mode moment, yeah.
He was mad that there wasn't a fourth rope on the ring.
There's also the rumor that Wayne's in the hospital after the hashtag naked page was on Twitter, trending worldwide. Get well, Wayne.
I thought that was confirmed.
It was transparent. You can almost see through it.
Just like her skin. Anyway.
True.
The last of the stories that really, for me, I'm sure you guys read some of the rumors that I read, was that the main roster of WWE was frustrated how the NXT talent are treated.
No shit.
The NXT talent are given more time, better stories, whereas the main roster, there's a lot of guys that are just, they're there. They're not doing anything. They're not given enough time to produce a match, even though they're 3 hours ago. Yeah.
I'm sure that's true for half of the main roster. The other half that gets on the shows every week doesn't care.
But they even said guys like Daniel Bryan are frustrated simply because having a 3-minute match when they know they can go an hour. at least give him 10, 15 minutes, but they're only giving 3.
Yeah, see, the thing with Daniel Bryan is, you know, come pay-per-view, he's going to get 15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he and Roman Reigns were wrestling on SmackDown for like the better part of an hour in that tag gauntlet match.
We can drag this back into the improve. Why would you let your tag champions lose to fucking Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan? They ate up the entire tag team division. Supposed to have tag team experts, and they destroyed the whole tag division. And they hate each other.
R-Truth the only team that really wasn't IC champ.
By distraction.
Don't care. R-Truth beat the IC champion.
Didn't we just say that wins and losses don't matter?
When you're a champion, this losing not, to R-Truth?
This is not whose wrestler is it anyway. This is supposed to be wrestling where matches matter. But
no, that's TNA.
No, my beef with TNA is a 2-hour show and 9 matches that are... It just proved that having more matches doesn't matter. But that, other than... Shel Sonnen and Silva rumored to appear at WrestleMania. There's not really anything else going on this week.
I can believe there's been discussions of those two being there. I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm sure there's discussions with a lot of big-name sports stars and celebrities.
That's why it's WrestleMania.
Exactly.
And look what happened at SummerSlam. I mean, Ronda Rousey and the Four Horsewomen were there, like, helping with Stephanie and stuff. They were at SummerSlam, so I could see that could happen for WrestleMania.
That's why Stephanie beat Brie, because Rousey was training her.
Yeah, but Sonnen and Silva, are neither one are in the UFC, I don't believe, at this point.
No.
So technically they're not associated with another company like Ronda is. Where Ronda can't be on, well, they won't put Ronda on TV because she's in the UFC.
Until she loses that title to Jessica Evil, I hope, my bad.
And then retires and then comes out with her and Natalya. Anyway.
And have a mark out my one. I just want her to lose to I. That's all I want. She's so overrated. Anyway. We got the pub. Are you done now with the water cooler?
That's gonna be it.
Oh, great. Now you get to hear as I fuck up your emails.
May I have your attention, please? I am here to fuck up your emails.
Emails. Alright, do I want to start with DRG or do I want to start with AA?
May I have your attention, please? FD is here to fuck up your emails.
Yep.
You have to do it in a British accent, though.
No, my British accent's not very good. You've heard it before.
Mine's worse, so I can't really say much.
Do it.
I'll do the Bulgarian accent like Matt says. Wah, 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 John Cena. Wah, 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 wah.
It's Paige. Fuck off.
All right, this one is from Andy Anderson. He says, oh, hold on, Zool, what do you want? And she's getting in my face. I love you too.
Aww.
Now lay down. Lay down and snore, like you always do.
Wow, sounds like a date.
typical, you're
dating the wrong people if they just tell you to lay down and snore.
No, see, it's just the opposite for Heavy. It's like, quit snoring. Wake up. I'm not done.
Yep. All right. Well, this one's from Andy Anderson. Hello, boys and Katie.
Hi, Andy.
How you doing? I was homesick and slept most of the day, but still wanted to contribute to the show. Oh, that's nice, and thank you for sending in a very short email. On Raw, we got a change in outfit. I'm mopping it up. On Raw, we got a change in outfit from Paige. I liked it. I know Wayne would have preferred for wrestling naked, but I still like the change anyway. who, in your opinion, could use a costume change? I think Roman Reigns was, with taking off his shirt and a possible haircut, could be an improvement. And also Kane either, but I'm back on the mask, something different than he's been doing. Thank you for reading my email, and that has been my nickel, double A.
Roman Reigns keeps the hair. The hair works for him. The outfit could change a little bit, but not the hair.
He could go back to his layout key.
My only thing with Roman's hair is at the end of the Daniel Bryant thing on Raw, it started getting really fuzzy and really bushy. That's bad.
He didn't wet it enough.
I guess not.
And if you remember Dolph Ziggler, if he's out there for longer than 10 minutes, looks like he has a perm. Yeah.
Well, it's bad enough his hair already looks like ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles. So yes, Andy, we agree.
But now, attire. Didn't you say something about Paige changing her attire?
He liked the change in scenery, basically.
I would like it more if she would dye her hair and then, I don't know, maybe get a tan.
I like the pale. See, I like the pale with the black hair.
I don't think the black's her natural color.
Hers is brown.
It's awful. I was going to say, that is awful black for a natural color.
I want to see Paige 100% natural. And what I mean is even no makeup, because it is very rare to find pictures of her without even eye makeup. You see, I have found pictures with minimal eye makeup, but that's it.
All I know is I'm looking at a picture of Emma, and she's fucking gorgeous.
How did you get on Emma?
I'm looking at her on a Twitter picture thingy right now.
Getting a little excited?
I might actually need a couple minutes here. Hold on.
And then he goes to mute. As for somebody changing their attire?
Yeah.
Kane's the only person I know that could have short hair and have long hair in like a matter of a month.
Yeah. There's not anybody I can think of besides the ones he mentioned.
Oh, I can think of one specifically. His name's Bull Fucking Dempsey.
Yeah, I don't like the nipple cover singlet. I think he can stay in a singlet, but make that cut off a little smaller.
I agree with the Roman Reigns to an extension. I would like to see him out of the Shield gear or close to it. Because it's kind of bad enough that he has the theme that is similar to the Shield, which I don't 100% mind, and I don't really mind his look. But eventually, one day, we are going to get a Shield reunion, and between now and then, I like to see something different from him.
Yeah.
What I think will be a big change for him is when he actually goes heel.
Yeah.
That's when you'll see some of those changes happen.
Do you see in the future him and the Usos being a team?
I almost think it's inevitable.
Okay.
Maybe not like a weekly team, but like something where they're going to find a reason to team up for a pay-per-view or two.
I was alluding more to like a stable or like a good group.
I don't know about that. Would you put in Tamina too?
Tamina could be the...
Well, yeah, they're all the effects debuted, right? They came in together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In my opinion, Usos sucked when they first came in. They tried to bring them in with a splash going up against the Hart Dynasty, but it kind of fell short.
They're all cousins, man.
Uso crazy.
They cousins.
They did it for The Rock.
They did it for The Rock's cousin to make him look strong.
All right. Dear Cheese email, here we go.
Oh, Lord.
Sup, panel?
Sup.
How you doing?
I don't. Regretfully, I will be unable to attend this week's shindig, but as always, I wanted to play a game of three questions with you guys. Number one, I have recently been digging the Taz podcast, as his honest, blunt approach is fun to hear. My question, though, is, Who is the person from inside the wrestling business that you most value their opinions and thoughts? Which reminds me, that's something that we should have talked about during Biohazard's Biodump, is Ric Flair getting his podcast.
We talked about that off air.
I avoided that for a reason.
Was that whenever I was getting
yeah.
my food?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I avoided that for a reason. I don't care. I don't care.
When I heard he was getting one, I was like, well, granted, they seem they want to go outside of wrestling, but I'm like, really?
Woo. This is how I imagined the podcast. It's Ric Flair. Woo! Kiss stealing. Woo! Wheel and dealing. Woo! Son of a gun. Woo! And that's all it is, the whole podcast.
Child support.
Woo! I spent this much money on these many robes.
Woo! Now the real question is there going to be a breathalyzer on the microphone before he starts?
Probably not.
Woo!
But yeah, I forget who's giving them the podcast, but it's not like an all wrestling based one. It seems like they want to do some pop culture type stuff too, or have athletes, musicians, and all that kind of stuff on. So
yeah, because when I think of pop culture, I think of Ric Flair.
When you think of pop culture, do you think of fucking Jericho?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. He's kind of in the rock scene. He's kind of in the TVs.
Yeah, he has different variety of people on the show, not just wrestlers.
Yeah, I looked at the Run DMC one. It was pretty good.
I don't think of him when I think of pop culture.
I just imagine Ric Flair ending every sentence with "woo."
Well, he didn't do that on Raw.
That was the part I was sleeping at. So
I actually think he started to go off script, and Triple H had to cut him off a time or two.
Wouldn't be the first time.
It's going to be a lot of yelling and a lot of woos.
But, all right, is there anybody in the wrestling business that we value their opinions and thoughts? Well, Devil Vamp would say Triple H, so let's get that over right off the bat.
Since I've been listening to Chris Jericho's podcast, his opinions are, like, pretty prevalent in my head. Jim Ross, Stone Cold, I would say, for me, it'd be Chris Jericho.
I'd say Austin. I mean, when he does these little special podcasts or any podcast in general, he does ask questions that a lot of people would want to know. And he brings on, like, wrestling, like, editors and things like that and asks what they thought of certain matches and things. So, I like Austin.
Ed Ferrara.
That's one person that I just thought of.
Really?
That when everybody's talking about who they want on the Austin podcast next, it's Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Undertaker. I think T-Mac throughout Shane or somebody throughout Shane. I thought of one that I'm surprised nobody's saying, and I would love to see him on the show. John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On Austin's show?
Yes.
He's already done it, just not the video version.
Video. I think the video version would be cute.
Yeah.
Why, so we can see how phony he is?
I don't think he's phony. But you're going to get him in a real situation where there's no editing. But that's a guy that I would like to probably hear more about. But I want to hear kind of him honestly on stuff. Because he's been through a lot.
Yeah,
he is too guarded, dude. I don't know if you'll ever hear his legit opinions on anything.
I don't know if he's guarded. I think he's a guy that he, like, knows what his job is, and he knows what to say and what not to say.
Well, even in that Austin interview, you could tell that there was moments where he thought about what he wanted to say before he said it.
Like, he's choosing his words carefully.
Very carefully.
Yeah.
Well, if you really think about it, you always have to pick your words carefully when you're in the WWE. No matter who you are.
Unless you're Cesaro and getting hacked on your Twitter.
Because if you don't, people get, like, accused of saying, oh, he doesn't know when to shut his mouth. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you want John Cena to say better things? Oh, you don't, like, you want to be right all the time. Okay.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, I can understand why somebody wants to pick and choose their words. Perfectly fine. Because you're going to be under scrutiny if you say the wrong thing.
What I'm saying is I don't think you're ever going to see or hear an interview from Cena where he doesn't do that. So you never know whether he's giving you real opinion.
He will.
I don't know, man.
He's not going to do WWE forever. Look at Hogan. Hogan's open about stuff.
Yeah, to a point.
You take what he says to a grain of salt a lot of times.
Yeah.
Well, that's anybody that old.
I didn't know the cameras were there when I was talking to Warrior. Yeah, whatever.
Just like watch this. Hey, Mop, what do you think about Bret Hart?
I don't much care for him.
What's the word you always use?
He's bitter.
Full thing?
Oh, he's a bitter old man.
Okay.
Yeah.
But did I say that about anybody else other than Bret Hart?
No. But what? Well, you do say about other people too. But what I'm saying is he's kind of a great assault guy too. Probably, I love him, but he is. But I think John Cena will open up one day.
That would be one very good tell-all book, that's for sure.
When he goes to TNA, he'll open up.
Yeah, if TNA is even going to be around, and then the next—that's one thing. They keep doing stuff. The more and more they do certain things, TNA loyalists are either close to or they are pushing the panic button. I think DRG made a comment with them losing Joe that he's not too far away from hitting the panic button.
I was actually just going to say, let's just hope TNA makes it through July.
Their tapings are all the way up until May, I think now, April or May.
Jesus. All right.
Second
question.
Question two.
Yep. Skip the question number three. All right. TNA recently recorded their one night only Knockouts Knockdown event. What's weird is they just released the one not that long ago on pay per view. Mia Yim, Ty Trinidad, and Cherry Blossom. I gotta double check that one.
Cherry Blossom is Taylor Hendricks.
Cherry Bomb. No. I thought it was Cherry Bomb. I'll look that up. Well,
I think he meant have meant Cherry Bomb. I think Cherry Bomb was the one that was on the pay per view.
But they are a few notable names to show up from the independent list. My question for you is that if you could build your own WrestleCast women's event, which dream matches would you have on your card? Only limitations is that you can't use deceased wrestlers, but all promotions are open.
So it would be anybody currently wrestling.
Yeah, we'll say that.
So you can't use Trish Stratus, you can't use Lita, you can't use Sable, even though I don't know who would use Sable.
Brock Lesnar would.
Brock Lesnar.
Anybody else want to take a crack at it while I'm thinking?
I'm sorry, I missed part of that question. What was it? Get over yourself.
My question for you...
Reading it slower isn't helping.
...is that, but I'm making sure you get it all. If you could build your own WrestleCast women's event... Which dream matches would you have on your card? Only limitation is that you can't use deceased wrestlers, but all promotions are open. That is correct.
And smartass, it was Cherry Bomb instead of Cherry Blossom. And that's what I was looking up while you were reading the fucking question.
And I said I was going to look it up, fucker. He wrote Cherry Blossom, and it's Cherry Bomb.
I just went to the fucking spoilers of the event.
Yeah, and I was trying to do that too, bitch.
You did it.
So fuck off.
It's women's wrestling. Until they get time on regular TV.
Okay, Rock.
I mean, right now, seriously?
Okay, Rock.
I'm taking... I would take the four women from NXT because they're the only ones I've seen do anything. And, what, maybe throw in, I guess, Paige and AJ and...
Gail Kim.
Fucking God. Ugh.
Gail Kim and...
I'm looking at these spoilers. Oh no, never mind. Fuck. I was gonna say Tara Terrell's not on the card, but she is. Fuck her.
Of course she is. Of course she is. And it looks it looks like all the regulars won except for Toothpick.
Which that is one of my biggest complaints about these fucking knockouts. Maybe they'll have one outside name win a match.
And it really isn't that far of an outside of an outside name.
I mean, the only benefit is Havoc was on was an outside name during the last taping. By the time they aired it, she was a signed talent. Yeah.
But don't really women's division unless I mean, if we're gonna do like ideal, what are we going to do? How many names do you want?
I think just kind of name match. This might be more for me because obviously not that many people like women dressing like I do. I've always wanted to see like either Veda Scott versus AJ Lee or one in particular, Leva Bates versus AJ Lee. For my own personal preference, Natalya versus Veda Scott because those are my top two favorites. I'd love to see them in the ring together. I always wanted to see the Divas division be this at one point. Gail Kim, Natalya, Karma, and Beth Phoenix. Just those ones alone. That was right before Beth Phoenix retired, before Karma fucked her shit up in WWE, and right before Gail Kim left. That would mean a fucking badass fucking Divas division. What other matches? Quit snoring. That's all that I can think of. Havoc versus Alpha Female. Because I always said that those two look so much alike. I'm trying to think of a good match for Mickie James, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
There would be a lot of interesting ones on the women in the WWE roster now. There would be some interesting ones like Charlotte or Paige or AJ. Any of those would probably be pretty decent matches.
Mm-hmm. Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte would be really good. That's all I can think of. All right, we'll get on to the last question. I spoke last week about Rikishi being one of my guilty pleasures in professional wrestling during my adolescence. My question is, if you have a guilty pleasure right now, someone that not many other people enjoy, but you love watching them perform. For me, it has to be Samuel Shaw. I just love the character and Shaw's ability to provide little nuances in his body language and facial expressions that add depth to that character for me. That's it for me this week, guys. Hope you have an amazing episode. We know two things for certain. A, it won't take as long because I'm not there rambling on. Yeah, about that. And we have mops, so that's kind of just as bad, and we started late, right. And we rambled before that. And B, you don't have to worry about Sandy Vamp taking over talking over you and rushing your past topics that he just doesn't care about. Enjoy, folks. DRG, gone.
Minus Stardust. And Bull Dempsey.
Yeah, yours is definitely Bull Dempsey. Because I would say a lot of people like Stardust, too, but Bull Dempsey,
Bull Dempsey
yours.
Is mine, yeah.
Bo Dallas was one of mine, and that took me a while to warm up to. Primetime Players coming back, I always enjoyed them. One of my guilty pleasures used to be Kane, but not this Kane. I like the mask Kane and the demonic Kane, especially when he had the mask on.
One of my older ones was 3MB. It was such a bad gimmick, but they were entertaining. They did the best with what they had.
Felt for me in that fact, it was Drew McIntyre.
Mm-hmm. McIntyre and Slater, because Mahal was the dark horse and nobody cared about Mahal.
Drew McIntyre, the one wrestler whose song basically encapsulated his whole career so far.
Yeah, I think I did a mashup of his theme and Goldust, Broken Dreams and Shattered Dreams.
I like the mashup of his song in AJ Styles, No One, I forgot the name of the actual song, but it's when he used the No One gimmick.
Yeah. What about you, Katie? You've been quiet. Are you still here? And Katie dropped off, and I didn't even realize it.
She might have fallen asleep and then just hit the end call button.
I'm going to try to call her back, but...
God, I've been sitting here thinking the whole time of a guilty pleasure, and I can't come up with one. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I like Ryback and stuff, but I don't really... I mean, is that a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, I don't like Ryback.
Yeah, I think Rabbit's cool. I kind of like Rabbit too, but he's been on and off for me. There's times that I don't like him, and there's times.
Hey, Rusev's another one. I mean, I like him, but is that really a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, that's definitely a big guilty pleasure of mine.
It's like more and more every week. It's like, okay, I like him more. I like him more. And what really put it over the top was a couple of weeks ago when they did the flag that didn't quite fall down. And they threw that absolute fit about it. It was freaking fantastic. And they carried it over backstage. Did a little, one of those after Raw things about it. That was awesome.
All right, Katie, you're back. Did you hear the question?
No.
DRG asks, what are your favorite, or what your current guilty pleasures in wrestling are, like wrestlers?
Dean Ambrose. I like his lunatic fringeness.
Well, when we mean guilty pleasure, it's like something that you like that maybe not necessarily everybody likes. For example, Bio was Bull Dempsey. Me and Bob, it was Rusev and Ryback.
Roman Reigns, too.
I do believe that.
Believe that.
Oh, you know who? The Miz. I freaking love The Miz.
I liked when he was doing the I'm The Miz and I'm Awesome. Everybody hated it, but I wanted the shirt.
The one that looks like the name tag?
I have that air freshener hanging in my car.
Yeah, I have that shirt. I also have the one on the it just says, like, I think Awesome on the front. I don't wear that one much. I like the first one, that one I bought because I went to a live event and they had it in my size. I'm like, yeah, I kind of like it. And then after a while, I'm like, yeah, I don't like it as much. I think that is, if anyone has any more guilty pleasures, I can't think of any more for me off the top of my head. Right, moving on.
I wish they would put Bull Dempsey's theme song on iTunes so I can download it.
They don't have it on iTunes?
Nope.
Do they have Baron Corbin's?
Yep.
Damn, it's like the only one they don't have.
Yep, and it depresses me.
I got, Kevin, as soon as they released Kevin Owens' one on iTunes, I downloaded it.
See, I have Owens, Itami, Baylor,
Yeah, I illegally downloaded Baylor's.
Yeah, I ripped Owens' as the day it came out.
The funny thing is, I bought it and ripped it.
I got the Enzo Amore one.
I illegally did that one. I should buy it, but it was cheap. Soft. But then I also have a fucking Eric Rowan's theme, too.
Yeah, I don't have that one. I have Seth Rollins' theme, though.
I heard a mashup, and it is so good. It's, what was the one with Dean Ambrose's theme? I just lost it. Because I got mixed up, but they also, someone did one with Dean Ambrose's with Seth Rollins. I mean, Dean Ambrose's with Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I heard that one before.
But there was a good one with Seth Rollins. I'd have to look on YouTube. Actually, it's on, I think, on WWE's channel.
Yeah, I follow the guys that do the mashups. I follow some of them on YouTube. But they haven't. A lot of them haven't been posting anything to their accounts anymore. It's just straight to the WWE account.
Well, that's smart because, like, WWE is now, like, acknowledging them and giving, like, here, let's put your... We're allowing you the rights, but it's going to go on our page, but we're going to give you...
Well,
credit.
I can't remember who the YouTuber was, but they actually used one of his songs when they did the Brotherhood song with Cody Rhodes and Goldust. He made the song, and they acknowledged that he made it. They put the mashup on their page first, and then they used it as their actual theme song.
Dude, it really is kind of amazing how far the WWE's come in just 3 years.
Before it was like they would.
Oh yeah.
Tell you to
oh, it was.
It down
It was Seth Rollins and Elijah Burke. Oddly enough, because we talked about them.
I'll have to go listen to it then.
Yeah, the really good one. Just type in WWE mashup, and you get like a playlist of 53 videos, and I think they're all the WWE ones. But then right under that is the Dean Ambrose Chris Benoit one. It is pretty fucking good. All right, let's get into our best of the week. Katie, what is your best of the week?
Well, no, I like towards the end at the beatdown with Bryan's and Reigns. I liked when they went for the handshake. They did a little, like, handshake tap, and then they just went right back to fighting. I thought that was so funny. But I like the chemistry between them. And like I said before, I'm excited to see their match. I think their match is going to be good, regardless of how the ending is going to come across. But I like how this has been building between the two. So that's my best of the week.
All right. Biohazard.
Mine would be the Baylor-Adrian Neville match. Just the chemistry between those two guys who, if I remember correctly, they had never fought one-on-one before NXT. And the fact that they could just go out there and tear the house down was impressive to me. And I also like the fact that even though they're going to change up Baylor's paint every time, it's going to keep the same theme, at least from the past two, with the red and the teeth, that they're going to use that same design, but just change it up a little bit every time.
Yeah, they done put that on a t-shirt. You better believe he's going to stick with that for a while.
Because even now he has the knee pads and the trunks that match it all, too.
How about you, Mop?
Sorry, I was yawning. I think I know where you're going to go with your best of the week, so I'll take the Divas match on NXT.
Yeah, I specifically avoided the other thing because I knew he would go for the same thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, mine is a toss-up. That is one of them, but my first initial honest reaction of, like, okay, what was my best of the week is getting NXT tickets. Because that's pretty fucking awesome. Even like I said, I got general admission, which I'm not 100% sure all the stuff behind it. I almost thought it was standing room only, but I actually don't think it is. Still, it's exciting to actually go and try to have fun. But yeah, the other part of it, Kevin fucking Owens winning the NXT championship, that is fucking amazing. 2 months in, I love it.
I'm knocked out.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the next couple months of Kevin Owens as champion.
He won by KO.
KO won by KO. Too bad he... Oh, that's what they should do if they're going to bring back outside talent. They should bring back in Cassius. Oh, no.
They can't, apparently. He's too fat.
That's a fun debate that you can have with people, because I look at Owens and I look at Hero, and I understand what they're talking about. I don't consider Hero fat, or Cassius, whatever you want to call him. But if you look at, like, what he would look naturally, he's a little flabby. Granted, he's kind of like both cows.
Flabby.
Baron Corbin.
He has a mouth for his stomach.
Kevin Owens is just a naturally bigger dude. Granted, he's got some weight behind him, but he's also worked his ass off coming into WWE. So, granted, if he were to start to regress on that progress, WWE might let him go. And that's, I think, what the problem with Hero was. There's a lot of other rumors behind Hero, too. So
yeah, and from what I understand of the Hero, they've talked to him several times about his weight, and he never fixed it.
And it seems like with Owens, he's constantly working.
Yeah.
Because he's been losing weight.
It is a noticeable difference from when I saw him here in Dayton in ROH, and now seeing him in NXT. Noticeable. Difference.
Oh shit, when I seen him in Cleveland AIW the end of last year to now, that's a good year. He's toned, not toned up, but he's lost some weight.
Yeah, it was probably close to about a year ago too. So yeah, that sounds about right.
Did we forget to mention on the water cooler that Samoa Joe quit TNA?
Yeah.
Now.
It wasn't a rumor. It's a fact.
Yeah, well, we need something to talk about. So, and that's kind of the big thing. That's something you want to talk about. I'm wondering what is next for him.
For Joe?
Somebody
said something about WWE, and I just don't see it.
If you just go on Twitter, type in Samoa Joe, like type in his Twitter handle, and just hit the, like, where you get the results of where people are tweeting. That's what a lot of people are hoping for. Granted, I think Samoa Joe versus Kevin Owens would be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're more likely to see Samoa Joe go to Japan, go to ROH, do some indie dates, maybe go to Lucha and...
Bullet Club.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, New Japan was the first one that popped in my head.
I think Kata tweeted Samoa Joe, like, thanking him and all this stuff, and said, like, he said something about, like, he would love to see him as a member of the Bullet Club. And I was like, yeah, because everybody's a member of the Bullet Club. And he literally kind of tweeted me back, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.
I was like, if he goes the New Japan route, the Bullet Club just seems like ex-TNA guys, besides maybe a third of them.
And I think Rocky Mountain High said he can't wait for the Bullet Club to start their own Wolfpack.
The Assault Club.
The Hollow Point Club. We go for the kill. For life.
Then they'll make the Flair Club, which the Young Bucks will be a part of. They're just a lot of fizzle.
I think it was DRG and GroupMe said something about Samoa Joe being friendly with Conan.
Yeah.
So, AAA and That's Lucha.
What, yeah, I already mentioned Lucha.
Which TNA is trying to work out a deal with AAA. So you could see Samoa Joe back in TNA sooner than you think.
Yeah. Anybody think else to throw on that?
Yeah, I just don't see him going to WWE because of the weight.
I'm trying to say he's fat.
He gained a lot of weight in the last 5 years.
I'm not trying to. I am.
He's fat.
Yeah, he gained some pounds in the last 5 years. You can tell.
It seems like he maybe has a bad attitude, maybe.
Yeah, and it might be just the TNA thing more than anything. Because if you're at a place you don't want to be, you tend to get a bad attitude.
Yeah. Maybe we can go a little bit more on depth on Samoa Joe thing when DRG's here.
Yeah, hey,
it's not a whole lot to get into. They left on equal terms. They both walked away from the table. Samoa Joe could either go to New Japan or AAA or Ring of Honor, or there's a slim chance of WWE picking him up as a trainer. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities out there. We don't know. All we know right now is that he's said, all right, TNA and I are done. Thank you for the time.
Yeah.
And we move on from there until another announcement's made.
I definitely do think ROH is his next stop, but I don't know if that's like a permanent stop or if that's just a pit stop to get
to
back
New
into
Japan.
The swing of traveling, yeah.
To New Japan to join Bullet Club.
To NWA 2014-15.
Kata, out.
Yeah, I can't wait till Virgil officially joins the Bullet Club.
Virgil, million dollar man.
What would be the Virgil of the Bullet Club?
Elijah Burke.
The young bucks.
No, it's got to be somebody even more irrelevant.
Monty Brown.
That would be the Virgil of the Bullet Club.
I think he retired from wrestling.
He didn't come in and just do the pounce, and then he didn't have to fight. That's literally when he was in TNA. His matches. All I'd fast forward the match, and then right when before he hit the pounce, I'd play it. And that was the only thing I remember about Monty Brown is the fact that he used the finisher that nobody else did, and it was just a shoulder tackle, and everybody sold it so well.
I've only seen one other person do the pounce off the top of my head, and it's a local guy, part of the tag team Jollyville Fuckets. You can see him pouncing, of all people, Veda Scott. Veda Scott's a very tiny woman. Not very tiny, but she's tiny. And the guy who does it is kind of almost the size of Monty Brown, and when he fucking pounced her, she damn near fucking flew. Actually, there's a pounce of that one. I think he also pounced a woman by the name of Heidi Loveless. I think she flew too.
I don't know who that is. I've heard of her.
I actually thought
she won Shikara's Young Lion Cup this past year.
I actually thought I thought you were going to say Samoa Joe on catering, but you know.
But going back, yeah, I think he's going to go almost everywhere. Everywhere but WWE.
See, and the other one was that he could be one of the first mainstay guys in GFW. But
that
again,
is always a possibility.
Because Jeff Jarrett gave him his break in TNA. So with Jarrett starting a new company, he could go to GFW. But we don't know. As of right now, all it is a plan that they're going to do a full-time company. As in have their own TV show and stuff like that.
Well, my understanding is it's going to be a reality show before it's a company, so.
Yeah, no idea.
Well, that stuff's rolling out this year. I also heard the rumor that they're doing a AAA pay-per-view, just like they did the Wrestle Kingdom 9. So, we'll see. We can all agree 2015 will be a good year in wrestling.
Was 2014 a bad year?
No.
No, Seth, it was fairly good. All right, and we're going to wrap things up here. And, Katie, where can we find you?
At Katie First Lady.
Biohazard.
At the Biohazard King.
Mop.
At hashtag NFL Easy Picks.
NFL season's over.
I don't care, you can still tweet it.
Yeah, but we're not going to fucking read the
tweet. I don't care. You can still find me there.
No, but you can do at the anything goes.
Oh, yeah, at the anything goes. I forgot that one.
you forgot that one. I think we've recorded NFL. No, we've recorded NFL Easy Picks more lately. So technically we did anything goes one day, and then the next day we did the last episode of NFL Easy Picks.
And to be honest, I forgot what that Twitter handle was anyway.
Really?
Yeah, I honestly did.
The anything goes. Are you going to remember that? Are you going to write it down?
No, I'll forget it about 2 seconds after we hang up.
Where's Joe when I need him?
I'm sure he's playing Xbox.
Isn't that what you're going
to
be doing?
What? No, I'm going pretty much straight to sleep after this. I got up at 7 this morning.
I got to be up in 2 hours, so let's go on.
All right, and you can find me at HeavySet330, at the anything goes. If you want to tweet it, at NFL Easy Picks too, even though those tweets won't matter for a while. You can also tweet the show at DSJMP.com. Send us an email at DSJMP.com@gmail.com, or visit the website DSJMP.com, and I'd still get to do that. So that will do it for us, and we will catch you guys next week.
Bye.
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 Well, Lesnar thinking better about it tonight.
I will see you on Sunday!
I'm here. Let's do this!
It's going to be a lot of yelling and a lot of woos.